This is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, visiting today with Mike Kalustian, 96 years old, of Visalia, California, originally from South Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He joined the Navy at age 18 in 1942 and was 19 by the time he left Great Lakes Naval Training Station. Mike's parents had escaped the Armenian Genocide and made it to America during World War I, but teenage Mike had never been outside of the Midwest.
Went to San Francisco and all these girls and strangers and whatever, you know, like San Francisco had all kinds of weird, it was different experience. We didn't want to stay in San Francisco.
No? The girls didn't like the bell-bottom trousers?
Yeah, for a couple of people, we had it fun. A lot of the girls didn't like anybody but navies, Air Force or the Army. They didn't like them. They just wanted sailors. They wanted our hats. They would seal our hats right off the bat. Yeah.
And you didn't get your ship till you got to Hawaii, right?
Right.
So you sail under the Golden Gate heading out to Hawaii, and you still really don't know what kind of ship you're going to be on.
No. All we know is we got on the Pennsylvania battleship and took us to Hawaii to Pearl Harbor. And there we were escorted on top of the ship and routed out to where you're going. What, you're going here, you're going there, you're going. The only guys they didn't want, they wanted radio men really bad. Anybody that could do a radio, they got good ratings. Others, like me, I didn't know a thing about it.
So, Morse code wasn't your strong suit.
No, right? Morse code was out.
Well, and you mentioned the Pennsylvania. So your ride from San Francisco to Pearl Harbor is the battleship Pennsylvania, which had been in Pearl Harbor when the Japanese attacked and was damaged there.
My ship was there, too, to New
the
Orleans.
New Orleans, right.
Yeah.
I'm just curious on that because I'm just thinking of you.
Yeah.
You know, you're still a teenager and you're going from San Francisco to Pearl Harbor. There's a lot of guys on that ship who've already experienced war.
Right.
Did they tell you guys any stories? Did you get a feel for what this might be like?
Well, a lot of the guys were telling me stories, but then I noticed that a lot of the guys had good ratings, like first class or second class, from drinking or whatever. They'd get busted down to a Pullman. So I would try to say, no, I can't go drink because I'm too young. I can't go in the bar. So all we did was walk on the streets looking for pineapple juice, whatever, going to the zoo, you know, just sightseeing around.
And what about Pearl Harbor itself? Because this is where the war started for America.
Yeah.
Did you see things there that were indicative of what had happened a year and a half earlier there?
The only thing I noticed was that the ship was there, the Arizona.
Yeah.
And other than that, the town itself was okay. People, I mean, there was just like, there was no disaster or anything. We didn't notice anything different other than going to Waikiki Beach.
So you ride over on a battleship, but now they're going to put you on a cruiser.
Cruiser.
Did you know what your ship had already been through when you came aboard?
I knew that it had lost its bow and was put together when we got to Honolulu. There was nothing wrong with it.
So this ship, the New Orleans, it had been at Pearl Harbor.
Right.
It's been through the Battle of Midway. And then in November 42, it's in the Battle of Tassafronga.
That's
right. And literally the whole bow gets blown off the ship.
Up to the bow, number two turret. That's 150 feet probably.
And you've seen all those pictures.
Yeah.
That's pretty jarring to look at, isn't it?
That's what scares you. You say, oh, my goodness. You know, way from down below, from the bow to number two. That's 150 feet. That's quite a few. Luckily, you know, most guys, all the doors are slammed closed there, so no watertight.
But you haven't experienced any of this before. I can't imagine it's that encouraging to know that kind of thing could happen and has happened to the very ship you're joining.
Right. See, we were two of the worst battles. I missed out just by a couple of months. Mm-hmm. But after Santi's around Macon Island, Tarawa, and then go on and on and on, Guam, Saipan, Tinian, whatever, you know, the big things were after the Battle of the Philippines. Philippines and Leyte were the worst of all the battles we were involved with. The making the Okinawa with the smoke fine so that the airplane couldn't penetrate and see clouds. It couldn't see what ship you wanted to hit. And then the sailors, the pilots, chased ships, aircraft carriers, so far, during the Philippine battle, that they ran out of fuel, and they all dunked wherever because they were so happy shooting all the Navy pilots down from Japan. They had forgot, and they had to dunk their ship. And that's the first of the war that the Navy majority altered to put on your battleship lights and pick up the strangers by survivor. They put on all the lights and saved all the sailors that they could possibly save from being dunked on their plane.
So you come aboard this cruiser. What did they tell you your job was?
They just lined us all up and said, okay, you guys go in the after room. I didn't know what the after room was. Okay, I went down and down the Dalton. I didn't know gauges. I didn't know valves. I didn't know how to open a valve. I didn't know anything. I just, at Great Lakes, they didn't teach anything. So when you got on board the ship, you go down the hatch to the engine room, and there you see two great big steam turbines with throttles on them. And you wonder, what's going on? Well, the Navy on the bridge tells you what to do as far as speed. And then you learn the routes, not us so fast, but those that could open the throttles to get 30 miles, 30 miles, 40 miles up by opening certain valves so the steam turbines could. So that's what we learned. Where I learned how to look and open a valve, I wouldn't know. I'd be trying to turn the wrong way. I didn't know a thing.
You had to learn the hard way, huh?
Hard way, right.
And you said you're a machinist, mate. So what kinds of things would you do in the machine shop?
I wasn't actually in the machine shop like lathes and stuff. We were maintenance. We would patrol steam lines, engines, whatever equipment was broke, we would learn to repair them, fix a steam line if it was broke, seamless scraping. We did maintenance work, was what we really did. We were not a machinist, maintenance per se. There's how many machinists can you have on a ship? You know, there was two guys, a chief and a first class, and they would learn to run lathes. But we didn't have many experience of repairs on it.
And what about the other guys on the ship? Did you make some friends?
The only friends we made were the same in our engine mesh people. As a seaman, and we didn't know. The only crews we knew were the after engine room and forward engine room personnel, because we would rotate around. I didn't know any first class or boatswain mates, you know.
And if general quarters sounded, what did you have to do?
Well, number one, you have to demand who's in the engine room. If number one was down in the engine room, you had to go. Because we have four parts of personnel. First, 1, 2, 3, 4. If one of the three is down in the engine room, number three would go down the engine winter. If his battle was four, we would go down. And if those that were on lead it from the top, they would go and help unload cannons. We were in charge with 40 millimeters. We make a line and carry those heavy things to each guy up to the after engine room, up until after taft, the back end of the ship, to the room where the 40 millimeter, that's where we'd go.
So you had a relay of 40
right,
millimeter
right,
shells.
Right.
You know, I know there were some significant actions your ship had before you got aboard, but what about the first taste of combat for you when your ship's guns are actually firing or there's some action against the enemy? What's the first time that happened?
The first one was Tarawa and Mikan Island. The first time where we saw the fireworks and where we learned that the people that were loading the ammunition would fire and we would load also. But then they found out that half the personnel that were Marines that were going to land to Tarawa and Mikan Island, they couldn't make it because the rocky coral and stuff was around, so we couldn't get close enough for the guys to go across. So we had to wait for them to sink into water and try to swim to shore. And we would have fire we had 20 millimeters and 40 millimeter caliber. We would fire those little small things, or 5-inch caliber with shell to help them. Otherwise, we were excited. If we were in the engine room, we couldn't see. But if we exclude to be at the other half, we could go up and kind of see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But the blasting of the island from the cruiser, we were lucky enough not to like the Marines that would land and walk in the water, and then get sunk before they even got to the land.
Which was a big big issue in that battle. That's where they learned that lesson.
Right.
So most of us have never experienced this. I'm just curious, when you're on that ship, whether you're passing ammunition or you're in the engine room, and all those guns are firing, where you're... cruiser is shelling one of these islands.
Yeah.
What is that like? What does that sound like? What does that feel like?
All you could hear, if you're an Indian woman, when the turret number three was right near us, right above us. And so when those turrets went off, the noise would rock our ship, scared, like, hey, what's going on? And all the debris from the shell, the powder and all this flag, and would come sailing down the exhaust onto our engine room, and we would smell it. We could hardly wait for it to be sound, so we go up and see what's going on.
Well, if you went up and you saw what was going on, what did you see?
We just saw the disaster. That's when you went. I wish you were a Marine at the time. Yeah, we wanted to see the war. We didn't know the Navy wasn't going to have anything like that. But then again, we're glad we could have been. I could have been dead in Macon Island.
If you guys are firing shells, they're going to be firing back at you.
Yeah, you know, like when they were still battling, we could go on topside and just lollygag, because we didn't have any control about any noise. The Marines and the Army, they were on the island killing everybody. We would find out that they had turrets, great big fortresses made out of concrete, and the Marine would hurry back to our ship. We would use our 5-inch cannons and try to blast, but, you know, they were underground, buried. They were mean. They were very, very vicious enemy. But the Marines had their flamethrowers, and it was disastrous. To be on the battle in Finland, that was different than my part.
But even on your ship, I read, I think it was, you guys were supporting some landings in Hollandia, New Guinea.
Yeah.
In April of 44, where one of your own American planes from the carrier Yorktown was having trouble, and it actually flew into the mast of your ship?
Yeah, it missed the aftermast.
It hit some of the gun mounts as it went into the sea, read that gas was spraying everywhere, and the plane exploded, and even one crew member from your ship was lost.
One, yeah, but most of them were, it was the after that got hit the mast and landed on the port side. After it hit the starboard side, it landed, and then it exploded. And part of it got hurt, the people that were there, but most of them were under battle, underground.
But that must have been a little alarming.
Right.
Like that could happen.
You wonder, hey, what's going on, you know?
And you guys were all throughout the Marianas there as different raids are happening?
Yep. We hit Guam, Tinian, Saipan, and we went on to bigger battles. They needed aircraft landing for planes to land and hit battles closer to the enemy. And one of the battles in Okinawa, as we were fighting in Okinawa, we got a message from headquarters saying that there was a squad of Marines on the other side of the island. They couldn't get off. They were swamped. They could either ocean or the Marines.
They were trapped or surrounded?
They were surrounded, right? So we had to go around the other side of the island and bring these guys onto our ship and then to their people. Some were mad, and we took care of those that were hurt, everything else.
Well, and even before that, you know, I wanted to ask you about this, because there probably hasn't been a battle like this since then. In October of 1944, the Battle of Leyte Gulf.
Yeah.
It's the last time that there's been a real battle line of ships lined up firing their guns at the enemy.
Yeah.
And you guys were part of that.
Yep.
I also read, with regard to the Battle of Leyte Gulf, that your task force, your ship, and three other cruisers like you, that you guys were credited with sinking a carrier and a destroyer of the Japanese.
Right, yeah.
So those are your ship's guns knocking them out.
Right.
And you spent part of that time passing ammunition?
Right. In that battle, one of the carriers, one of our carriers was the Ben Franklin. They got torpedoed and it was sinking, listening. So we had to go close enough to watch to see what's going to happen if the men would stay on the ship or come off the ship and we'd go save them. But luckily, they didn't sink.
Yeah, the USS Franklin survived that kamikaze attack in the Battle of Leyte Gulf. It came even closer to sinking 5 months later when two 550-pound bombs set it ablaze. But the Franklin made it through to the end of the war, and so did Mike Kalustian and the USS New Orleans. We've got plenty more to cover, so don't go anywhere. Hometown Heroes will be right back after this.